Let's start again on Ayin Aleph Amud Beis on page 71b at the two dots. The Mishnah distinguished between a child who steals from his father a sheep, slaughters the sheep, then the father dies. Mishnah said in such a case he would have to pay four or five times. But if he stole the sheep, then his father died, so he inherited part of the sheep. Then he slaughtered the sheep. He would not have to pay four or five times. He would just have to pay double. Says the Gemara, Ganav mishalav v'tavach u'machar, if he stole from his father and he slaughtered it while the father was alive, and then the father died, he has to pay four or five to the estate. Rav had asked the question of Rav Nachman. We know that the payment of four or five, like the payment of double, is a fine. It's not something which logic would say one has to pay. It's a knas. The rule about fines is that if the person who owes the fine goes into court and volunteers that he owes the fine, he's modeh b'knas, he admitted to the fine, he's then exempt, he's pater. So Rav asked the following question of Rav Nachman. Ganav shor shel shnei shutfin. Let's say Yaakov steals an ox that belongs to two partners, utvacho, and he then slaughtered that ox. However, v'hodeh l'echad mehem, he goes to one of the partners and admits to him that he did this thing. So to that partner, he's now blown away the obligation of double and three or five. However, to the other one, he hasn't admitted. So now, can the other one get him into court, and will he be able to get, you know, his portion reimbursed? Of course, he can get that, but can he get five times for his portion? In other words, the question is like this: Chamisha bakam rachmana. When Hashem said that the thief has to pay five cattle, it means five full cattle. V'lo chamisha chatzai bakar, but not that the court can convict him of five halves of cattle. When Hashem said chamisha bakar, five cattle, but afilu chamisha chatzai bakar doesn't mean it. It really means even five halves of cattle.
He admits he always has to do it to the owner. I mean, can't he just admit it to a third party?
No, to modeh b'knas is to the owner and to the courts.
Probably he's admitting to one, but saying to the other one, he didn't.
I don't know. But as long as he's admitted to somebody, I don't know.
Apparently not. That's also interesting, right?
He only stole everything.
It's interesting. So, I'm late. Yeah.
So Rabbi, he admits to one of the partners, so he has to pay double.
No, he'd only has to pay the principal.
But one of the only principal. But the other one, he doesn't. So the
correct.
Court forces him to pay.
Well, that's the question. That's the question. Now, what's the status? Amaleisa, he said to him, Chamisha bakam rachmana. Hashem only obligated five cattle. Lo chamisha chatzai bakar. Hashem never obligated five halves of cattle. So now that he knocked away half of the fine obligation, he knocked out all of the fine obligation. Esve, I'll challenge you. I'll challenge Rav Nachman. Our Mishnah. Ganav mishalavav. He stole something that belonged to his father. V'tavach, and he slaughtered it. Or machar, or he sold it. V'yachakach, and after he slaughtered it, meisavav, the father died. Sham tashlum abav v'chamisha, he pays four or five to the estate. One second. V'hacha, one second. Came in the meisavav. When his father dies, that's like admitting to part of the obligation, because after all, he's inheriting his father too. There are other brothers, but he's getting a portion. His portion, he's not going to pay to himself. Katani. So what? And yet it says, Mishalom Tashlum Abav V'Chamisha, he has to pay four or five. So you see that you have to pay a fraction of four or five also. Amar Leh, Rav Nachman responded, Achav Mayaskinan, you know what the case was here? It's not that the father died and then he was put on trial. The father had put him on trial and had him convicted, and he already owed the four or five. And then the father died. So one second, the Gemara says, Avalo Amad Bedin, but if the father hadn't had him convicted, and the father died, my, what's the halacha? Einu Misham Tashlum Abav V'Chamisha. Halacha is like what you, Rav Nachman, say in the case of a man who admits to one witness, to one partner, that he wouldn't pay four or five. Iyachi, if that's the case, Adatani Seifa. Why did the end of the Mishnah say, Ganav Mishalav Uvmeis, V'yachakach Tavach Umach, Einu Misham Tashlum Abav V'Chamisha, if he stole from the father, and then the father died, and then he's slaughtered, he doesn't have to pay four or five. Niflug b'nida. Why do you have to deal with a new case? A case of where the father died prior to the slaughter. You can make the distinction in this case. When do we say he has to pay 4 or 5? Kisham and Bedin, when the court already convicted him. And then the father died. Avalo Amad Bedin, but had he not been convicted yet, if his father died before the conviction, he's not going to have to pay 4 or 5 because the court's not going to convict him to pay a fraction of 4 or 5. Because Hashem said 5 cattle, he didn't say 5 halves of cattle. Amarles, he said, you're right, Hachanami. That's really the halacha. That's really the halacha. If the father would have died before the court had convicted the son who's the thief, the court would not convict the son who's the thief, because the court will not convict only fractions of the penalty. But I did not say Reisha Ganu Mishal Aviv. Since the beginning of the Mishnah mentioned that he stole from his father and he slaughtered and then the father died, because that's the case, because the father died after the slaughter and it was after the conviction too. Nasav Seifa Nami, so in the end of the Mishnah also it mentioned the, you know, those scenarios, those elements. Ganu Mishal Aviv, he stole from his father, Umeisav, but then the father died. Afterwards he slaughtered, Umachar was sold. He wouldn't have to pay. Litzafra in the morning, Rav Nachman changed his mind. Amarle, he said, you know what? Chamisha Baka Amar Achmana. In the case that began the whole discussion, a guy who steals from two partners and admits to one, would we convict the thief of now a fraction of the fine? Yes, we would. Hashem said 5 cattle, afilu chamisha chatzai bakar. And it could even mean 5 halves of cattle too. This that I didn't tell you this explanation in the evening, because I didn't think about it enough. I didn't eat ox meat. In other words, I didn't eat the meat. The learning of Gemara is like eating meat. I didn't understand it well enough. So I rushed an answer. I said, no, the Torah says 5. It can't be halves of 5. But the truth is it's wrong. It could be halves of 5 too. Okay, so now that we could be halves of 5, let's go back to our Mishnah. The Mishnah says that if a person steals from his father and he slaughters and then the father dies, he has to pay 4 times. Makes a lot of sense. Well, saying he has to pay, even though he's not paying to himself, he's only paying a fraction. He has to pay the fraction of the 4 times. Very good. What about the end of the Mishnah? Why, if he slaughtered after his father died, would he not have to pay 4 times? It's also a fraction, right? When his father died, he inherited part of the animal. Then he slaughtered it. So let him pay the fraction. Ela Mishnah Reisha, Mishnah Seifa. What's the difference between the beginning of the Mishnah and the end of the Mishnah? I'll tell you. Reisha Kavina Beyu Tvacho Kulo Beisura. In the beginning of the Mishnah, when he slaughtered it before the father died, so the act of slaughter was one big prohibited act. The Torah says if a man will steal an ox and slaughter it, this he slaughtered. He slaughtered the whole thing. The whole thing was an avera because it belonged to the father at the time, and he's slaughtering it. It's one big avera of stealing. However, b'seifa, in the end of the Mishnah, the father died first. So he inherited part of the animal. Whatever it was, a quarter of the animal he inherited. Then he slaughtered. So you can't say that the whole slaughtering was an avera. A quarter of the slaughtering was fine because it's slaughtering what he owns. It's only 3 quarters that are an avera. So then, at the end of the Mishnah, we don't read about it, and he slaughtered the whole thing with the prohibition. And therefore, he doesn't have to pay 4 or 5.
Rabbi, if he gives it to a goy to do this slaughtering,
yeah,
is this the same obligation?
Sounds like, because we learned the other day that the Mishnah says, the Pasuk says, Utvacho mcharo, so just like sale can be with others, the slaughtering also can be with others. Sounds like it, that's right. Hashochet v'nimtzei shefa. Then the Mishnah said that if a thief steals something and then he slaughters the cow or he slaughters the sheep and it turns out that the animal is not kosher, so he still has to pay 4 or 5. But Rabbi Shimon says he doesn't, because Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion when the Torah says tvicha and he'll slaughter, it has to be tvicha ru'uya, a slaughtering that is appropriate, a slaughtering that makes things kosher, not a slaughtering that leaves things unkosher. Amler chavivi michuzna'a le'rav Ashi. Rav Chavivi from Chuzna'a said to Rav Ashi, Shema Mina, we see from the Mishnah, where the Mishnah discusses a fellow who slaughters a stolen object in the Beis HaMikdash, Chulin Ba'azara, that Eina L'Shchita El Basof, that the definition of Shchita is that the object is considered slaughtered at the end of the act of slaughtering. And that's why, at the end of the act of slaughtering, that's when it's utvacha, he's slaughtering the whole thing. And that simultaneously is the same moment when he's violating the law of chulin ba'azara, of slaughtering in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, floating in the Beis HaMikdash is very terrible, but he would still have to pay 4 or 5.
So it sounds like the time of the Gemara, people, regular people know how to do Shemitah.
Maybe. Okay. Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
What is that's
the Chiddush. That even though it's an Aveira that didn't make the animal kosher, still it's considered a Shechita that you have to pay 4 or 5. Because if you're going to tell me that shechita is from the beginning of the act of slaughter, it's already called shechita. So now you'd have a problem. Once the thief slaughters a little bit of this chulin, this non-carbon, in the Beis HaMikdash, asra, he turns it into something which you can't get benefit from. So once you can't get benefit from it, it no longer has value. And since it no longer has value, it no longer belongs to the person who it was stolen from. So at that point, you're no longer slaughtering something that belongs to someone. So then you shouldn't be obligated. Amalei Ravuna Bredi Rava. So Ravuna, the son of Rava, said, no, maybe it's shechita already from the beginning of slaughter. And therefore, it's already a violation of chulin ba'azar at the beginning of the slaughter. But kika mechayva hu purta. When do you have to pay four or five, also for the beginning of the slaughter? Amalei Ravashi. Ravashi said again, lo titchi, you can't do that. You can't push that proof away. What do we just say? Utvachal, the Torah says that the thief will slaughter it, which means utvachal kulo ba'inan. He slaughters the entirety of it, at the entirety of the slaughter. At the completion of the slaughter, that's when the thief is becoming obligated, not at the beginning. The lek. Elakasha, so 1 second, so is there in fact a proof that shechita only happens at the very end? Amar Leis, he said, no, it's not such a proof, because Acham Rav Gamda Mishmei de Rava, Rav Gamda said in the name of Rava, I can tell you what the Mishnah is referring to. Maybe you go, and the thief stole the calf, Shashachat Mikta Simanim Bachutz, and he started to slaughter his stolen calf outside of the Beis HaMikdash. He slaughtered 49% of the windpipe and food pipe outside of the Beis HaMikdash. The Gamran Bifnim, he finished the last 2% inside the Beis HaMikdash. So the act of slaughter already started from the very beginning. But the very beginning wasn't an act of slaughter, which was an Aveira. So that was nothing. Then he walked into the Beis HaMikdash. His completion of the act of slaughter, which is the moment which is obligating him and paying 4 or 5, because that's Tzvachal Kulo, that's when he's slaughtering the whole thing, that's happening together with the Aveira of Chulin Ba'azara, and that's the point of the Mishnah. Even though there was an Aveira in this slaughter, nevertheless he'll have to pay 4 or 5.
That's not the kosher slaughtering. You kill 49%, cut 49%.
While he's walking, he's doing it.
So if it only happens that we need the farm, only gets slaughtered after the fact, why isn't that the
Kimura? Now the time, yes.
How come he's required to pay for it?
Why is there no Kamli B'dirabine here?
See if it happens at the same time. If we were saying it happened at the beginning, then it's not an issue.
Because this doesn't carry such a terrible penalty. So according to this opinion, it's not a reason for, you know, as we saw earlier, there are opinions that say that sometimes you can get malchus and have to pay.
Okay. Was there anybody doing that, or they are?
Well, in general, halacha wants to deal with theoretical cases also. Ika demastni la aha. There are those who had this entire discussion on the following lesson. Amar Reb Shimon Mishimon Rabbi Levi Sava, Rabbi Shimon, namely Rish Lakish, said in the name of Rav Levi the Elder, Eino l'shchita el vasof. When slaughtering, it's only considered an act of slaughter at the completion of the slaughter. However, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Yeshna l'shchita mitchila v'yadsof. Slaughtering is slaughtering from the beginning till the end. Amalei Rav Chaviva Mechuzna Rav Ashi. So Rav Chanina from Chuzna said to Rav Ashi, Leimekasav Rav Yochanan Chulin Shnishatu Bazar Lavdo Raisa. If Rav Yochanan holds that there is slaughter from the beginning till the end, so then maybe the whole Aveira of Shechting Chulin in the Beis HaMikdash shekling the non-carbon in the Beis HaMikdash is only a prohibition midrabanan. It's not to Oraisa. Why? Because Rabbi Yochanan holds the Shechita from the very beginning. And if you're going to say it's an Isser to Oraisa, it's a biblical law to slaughter a non-carbon in the Beis HaMikdash, so then Mikishachet Leporta, once a little bit of it has been slaughtered, Astra, so now the whole thing becomes prohibited to get benefit from it. It becomes Isuri Ana. Idach, the rest, Lav Demara Katavach, is no longer the animal that belonged to the one who it was stolen from. It's an ownerless animal that he's slaughtering. So why should he have to pay? Amar le Ravacha Brei de Rava. So Ravacha, the son of Rava, gave the answer. Ki kamachayef nami ayipurta. He has to pay. What obligates him in paying is that beginning, that initial slaughtering. Amar Ravashi, Ravashi said, lo titchi, you can't say that. Utvacha kulo ba'inan. The Torah says that he has to pay for having slaughtered it. Slaughtered it in its entirety, we require. Velech, and that's not what happened at the very beginning. Elakash, just 1 second. So we have a problem with Rabbi Yochanan. How could Rabbi Yochanan say that Shechita is from the very beginning? Amar le, achi amar Rav Gamliel Shmei de Rava. Rav Gamliel, the son of Rava, said, you know what the case of the Mishnah is? Ki kamachayiv, when would the thief end up paying 5 times for having slaughtered Chu and in the Beis HaMikdash? Ki gon sheshachat miktas simanim b'chutz. He slaughtered 49% of the tube outside the Beis HaMikdash. The gamran b'fnin. And he completed the slaughter of that tube in the Beis HaMikdash. So this is an interesting scenario.
It's a crazy scenario.
Yeah, but it's a crazy thing. The guy stole and he goes to the Beis HaMikdash to slaughter it. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's not the last thing that we learn, that the Shechita, it's not the Shechita until we finish.
Like correct.
If both of people, I stole the car with Baruch, and Yishuv had 49, and I'm finishing. It's
right.
I have to pay the Arba B'Chamisha. He has.
Maybe. That's the completion.
Completion.
That's the completion, right? That's when it becomes a Shechita.
Baruch, I'm helping you.
Cover
me up, easy.
I'm with you, but
okay.
So we have to remember a very important law in regards to witnesses is that generally witnesses have credibility. However, if witnesses say that the two of them came and they saw Reuven kill Shimon, let's say on a Saturday morning, May the 3rd at 11 o'clock in the morning, so we would believe them, but there's a way to disbelieve them. That is, if we have two other witnesses come, they're called the Mazimim, and they say, Saturday morning, May 3rd at 11 o'clock, you couldn't have seen Reuven kill Shimon in Englewood. You were with us at 11 o'clock, Saturday morning, May 3rd in Arkansas. So how could you have been in Englewood? You couldn't have seen it. So then we believe the second set, and the Torah says you should do to the first set what they were trying to do to the victim of their false testimony. They were trying to frame him and get him killed. You should do that to them. They should be put to death. Vasisim lo do to them, kasher zamam lasos lachiv, as they plan to do to their brethren. Says the Mishnah, God of Al-Pishnayim, let's say you have two witnesses who come and say Yaakov stole an ox. And then these two witnesses say, not only did Yaakov steal the ox, he slaughtered the ox, or he sold the ox. But then, Nimtzu Zomim, it turns out that the dates that they gave for the theft and for the slaughter, there are other witnesses who come and say that on those dates they were with them, so the whole thing could not have been true. So then, Mishalmin Hakol, so then they have to pay to poor Yaakov double. That was the first false testimony. Then they have to pay to Yaakov another 3 times to get it up to 5 times because they were trying to falsely convict him of stealing and slaughtering. So, Vasisim lo kasher zamam lasos lachiv, do to them what they were planning to do to the victim. They need to pay 5 times. What happens if Ganav al Pishnai? 2 witnesses come and say Yaakov stole. But the Tavachumach HaPishnai Machayim, 2 other witnesses came and said that Yaakov slaughtered or sold that which he sold. Elu ve'elu nimtzu zon. And now both sets have been discovered to be problematic with Zmama, right? That other witnesses came and said the times that you said you saw the theft and the times that you people said you saw the slaughter couldn't have been because you were with us at that time somewhere else. So Harishonim and Shalom Tishlomi Kefa. The first two are trying to get Yaakov to have to pay double, so they have to pay double. Achronim, the last two that were trying to get Yaakov to pay another three times besides the double, the Shalom Tishlomi Gimel, so they have to pay the other three times. What happens if Nimtzu Achronim Zomerim? If the second group that said that they saw Yaakov slaughter the stolen object, they were disproven as Edom Zomerim, with witnesses coming. You couldn't have seen Yaakov slaughter the object on May 3rd. May 3rd, you were with us in Europe. Then, who Mishalim Teshlume Kefel? And then, the person still has to pay double, because the witnesses who said that he stole have not been disproven. So they are believed. He has to pay double. However, those people, the Hain, those false witnesses who falsely claim that he slaughtered, they have to pay him three times. They have to pay him three times because they were trying to make him have to pay five. So Vasisim lo kasher zanam lasos lachiv, due to them what they were trying to do to him, they have to pay those three times. What happens if echad min achronim zomim? Only one of those last two witnesses. Again, the last two had come and said that they had seen slaughter. One of them turns out that he is an Eid Zoming. Okay. So now, but the other one was not disproven. So now, but lay the Shnia. So now there is no testimony that there was slaughter. There's no testimony that there's slaughter, because testimony is two witnesses. There's only one witness now. So therefore, he doesn't have to pay three times. On the other hand, this guy who was turned into an Eid Zomim doesn't have to pay him three times, because the law of Edom Zomim is only if both of them are made into Edom Zomim, not if only one of them is made into an Eid Zomim. So therefore, he only has to pay double. But Echad min HaRishonim Zomim, let's say if one of the first two turns out to be a Zomim, so now you don't have testimony that there was theft, because you only have one person saying there's theft, the other person was knocked out. Then but la kaledus, so that if you don't know that there's theft, the fact that two other witnesses came and have not been discredited who say there was slaughter doesn't mean anything, because maybe the slaughter wasn't on a stolen object. We don't know that it was a stolen object because we don't have witnesses that it was stolen. So then he doesn't have to pay anything. Jemain gneva, because once you don't have, once you have no longer established that there was theft, ain't vicha, so then there's no problem in the slaughter, in the sale. So once we've knocked out the theft, there is no problem in the slaughter or the sale.
I understand. If you have Eid Zomim, if the first, if both of them are Eid Zomim,
yes,
then you say you do have testimony. Now we're saying one hasn't been knocked out, one's been knocked out. Right. So there's no testimony to begin with.
Right.
The same thing when both are knocked out.
Yeah, that's true.
There's no testimony.
That's true.
But they pay, no?
Then they would pay. But if only one was knocked out, he doesn't pay.
But there's no testimony. As soon as it becomes Zomim, we're saying there's no testimony.
Right.
So where's the testimony that he stole?
Right. If there was hazama on the first two, then there wouldn't be any payment at all. Correct.
Oh, he wouldn't pay.
Anyway. The thief doesn't pay, but they pay him.
And the one witness that got knocked out, there's no penalty.
No penalty for a single witness that gets knocked out.
Just to clarify, I've been mistaken all the time when it said Shlume Kefir and Arbat Mechamisha.
Mm-hmm. No.
So always is just
2 plus 3 or 2 plus 2. That's correct.
Well,
that's correct.
Thank you.
So now the Gemara has a very famous discussion about how do we understand the concept of Eid Zomim. So again, the law is that if two witnesses come and they testify that Yaakov, let's say in this case, stole, and then they have to give a date when he stole and where he stole. And then, you know, several months later, other witnesses come and say, you know what, these guys who claimed whatever they claimed, they were liars, because on that date that they claimed they saw the event, they were with me and they couldn't have seen it. So they become Edom Zomim, and what's done to them is what they were trying to do to Yaakov. So it says the Gemara, Edmar, we learned, Edom Zomim, once two witnesses are turned into Edom Zomim, Abaye Omar, Sulima Freya, Hunifsal, whatever testimonies they gave, retroactively are all disqualified. In other words, they testified, let's say, on March 1st against Yaakov about something that they claimed that they saw on February 1st. It turns out February 1st, other witnesses come, let's say, March 10th, saying, no, February 1st you were with us. You couldn't have seen what you said you saw about Yaakov. So whatever they've testified in other cases from March 1st to March 10th is wrong. Because if we've disproven the testimony of March 1st, so now retroactively, whatever they've done till this time of being disproven from when they were discredited is all off. It all has to be thrown out. However, Rav Amar, no. If on March 10th there was a hazama about the testimony they gave on March 1st about what they claimed they saw in February, Mikan Elahabu Nifsa, they only are disqualified from March 10th and on. Abaya Amar Lamafreya, who Nifsa, Abaya says an eighth zone and gets disqualified retroactively because obviously you believe the second group. If you believe the second group, that means Me'ahi Shaita Da'asid, at the moment that he was testifying, Gavalei Rasha, he was a wicked person. He's a liar. He's not credible. At Torah, Amar Tashish Rasha Eid. The Torah says you're not allowed to set up as a witness a wicked man. However, Rav Amar Mikan Elahabu Nifsal. Rav says, nope, they are only disqualified from the point of the testimony and on. Why? Because Eid Zomim Chidushu, the idea that we disqualify the first group based on the fact that the second group says you were with us, is a Chidush. The Treyu Treininu, because basically it's two against two. My chazit tzayis lahani, tzayis lahani. Why do we believe the second two? Let's believe the first two. It's a chiddush that the Torah says, believe the second two. Hilkochein l'chabo el mishas chiddush ve'elach. So therefore, it's only from the time of that chiddush, the time of that novel point and on, that they are disqualified. Ikadami, others say, Rava nami ka Abaye sfirlik. Rava really agrees with Abaye that logically, the false witnesses are disqualified from when they gave their testimony. The Amar Lemafreya who Nivsal, he gets disqualified retroactively. Ach, at the time of the Rava, but why did Rava say they're only disqualified from March 10th and on? It's only a Dinder Abanan, Mishum Seda de Lakuchos, because he doesn't want to cause the customers who have used these witnesses to lose out. You know, they didn't know that they were problematic. They used them to sign contracts, so let those contracts stand. My Benayu, what would the difference be whether the reasoning of Rava is because Edim Zomim is a Chiddush, or the reasoning of Rava is because he wants to help the customers? The difference would be, Dasidu Be Treilachat, Treilachat. Let's say the witnesses who came to disprove these witnesses, the Mazimim, were four, two on one and two on one. Or Inami de Paslinu Begazlanusa. Or it wasn't Edim Zomim, but rather they said that those first witnesses were thieves. Not a Chiddush anymore. But then you wouldn't say that it's a Chiddush, so it has to be from now and on. It would be retroactive. But if you say we want to save customers who were unwitting, Ika, we would still want to save customers who were unwitting. That's the question. That's the chiddush.